The Gem State is getting its historical museum back after 4 years of renovations, a complete overhaul of exhibits, and a name change. The Idaho State Museum, located in Boise's Julia Davis Park, is set to reopen to the public October 12th. The $17 million project was delayed several times in order to get private funding. The state paid for $9 million of that renovation, but also weather was not a friend to this project. The record-setting winter of 2017 delayed this project. However, we are told all of this will be well worth the wait. Joining me live in studio to give us a preview is Janet Gallimore, Executive Director of the Idaho Historical Society, and Liz Hobson, Museum Administrator. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Okay, very first question. New name. So it used to be the Idaho State Historical Museum. Now it's the Idaho State Museum. Janet, why the name change?
Two reasons, really. One is that we want to make history all about the entire museum experience, or the entire human experience, if you will. So we're looking at history from a very multidisciplinary lens. So whether you're interested in science or art or language or social studies type history, all of those really come under the category of thinking about our state as a whole. So the Idaho State Museum really represents the entire state of Idaho, and it is the experience of all human history, not just one sliver of history, but all of it.
And it is a state entity, as you were saying.
It is a state entity.
So it's also giving credit to that.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about this 4 years of being under construction. This was not expected to take this long. We all remember the winter of 2017. What kind of effect did that have on the construction of the museum?
The winter had the winter and one delay for budgetary purposes had about a year delay. But I do think it's important for the listeners to know that the museum, actually the planning of it, took that long to do it the right thing and to do it right. And part of that meant that we were doing a lot of upfront focus groups with our university scholars. Our state historian traveled the state to talk to our scholars about, if you had to pick the top three things of what people need to know about Idaho, what would they be? And then when we hired our design company, we did a lot of visioning. And then once we had some concept designs, we went around the state for 9 months to test those stories to make sure that all of the exhibitions resonated across the state. So really, that was the bulk of the time, and that was all planned, and it was part of the process.
And how important was it to, when you're going to undertake a project like this, to do it right? Because this had not been up, this museum had, it had been a long time, let's say, since there had been an update like this. So it was extremely important, I would think, to get it right the first time around.
First time in nearly 70 years
exactly.
That the museum would have been updated, so we are really delighted. Yeah.
So, Liz, tell me about some of the new exhibits that we'll be seeing.
Yeah, they're very interactive. So I think it's very different than museums that people are used to, and it's definitely going to be different for visitors that are used to the museum prior to 2014. So the theme of the museum is the land that shaping the people and people shaping the land. So everything you're going to see, like Jan mentioned, that underarching theme is the history of the state, but more so just that general theme of the land and how it played a role in everything that happened here in the state of Idaho. So there's a lot of interactives. I think there's 46 different interactives throughout the museum, lots of hands-on activities. And you go upstairs and you'll actually see our permanent exhibit, Idaho, the land and its people, and it's divided into three geographic regions. So you're actually going to see how the land shapes each different region of Idaho.
And that's got to be exciting to just know that there's a permanent exhibit like that that gives you that historical basis.
Yes.
Because also a lot of people may not get up to North Idaho. They may not, you know, get to different parts of the state. And this is a way to experience that?
Exactly. Yeah. I think after you go through that permanent exhibit, you'll have a really good understanding of what the entire state is like, not just here in Boise,
right,
and not just North Idaho. So, and there's also a lot of exhibits geared towards our younger audiences. Really visitors of all ages will enjoy our family galleries in the lower level, but Boomtown and Stories from Idaho and the History Lab is all geared towards those younger visitors.
I'm speaking with Janet Gallimore, the Executive Director of the Idaho Historical Society, and Liz Hobson, Museum Administrator for the Idaho State Museum, which will be reopening October 12th. So, Liz, Boomtown, you talked about this. It highlights Idaho's mining past.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, do you have an exhibit that will be highlighting the wildfire dangers here in our state as well?
Yes.
And so these are just exciting exhibits that you have to be, that when you go in there, because I'm thinking about kids, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to get kids, when you say we're going to go to a museum, they don't get real excited about that.
And that's why a lot of these exhibits are interactive and include videos that really kind of engage with the audiences. Kind of there's the text for those who want to read, and there's also the videos that are really moving. Lots of different sounds. You're not just reading history, you're experiencing it. So you're going to hear it, see it, touch it.
And is there feel it. And is there a video game about the Oregon Trail?
There is.
Okay.
There are 40, as Liz mentioned, 46 different multimedia exhibits. So that the idea of making the experience be very powerful in museum design these days is that you want a great mixture. Mm-hmm. Artifacts, multimedia, written text, so that any kind of those things that people are interested in, they can experience them all together. And all together, they amplify the experience, create a very emotional experience.
How important was it to really bring into this technology into it, you know, when we talk about multimedia? Because, you know, some people, it's not necessarily their bag. But when we talk about the younger generation, I mean, this is what how they're learning in school. This is every day. How important was it to make sure that element was brought into this museum and having that experience?
Purposeful from the front end. When we created our team for design, we wanted to make sure there was design, multimedia, and fabricators all together throughout the process, so you could fully integrate the experience on the front end. Our focus groups around the state, everyone wanted those kind of multimedia experiences. And as you say, everyone does everything on their phone now. So we're so used to getting information that's dynamic and changing all mm-hmm. the time. We had to make the museum reflect that, or it would be irrelevant. And we are all about making the history of Idaho relevant.
Talk about the expansion, because it's not like you only just renovated a building. I mean, so take me through the expansion as well, like from where it was to what it will be come October 12th.
So the museum was about 29,000 feet, and what we did is for everyone, we took part of the front off, and then rewrapped the museum in about an 18,000 foot expansion. So what that allowed us to do is to create purposeful spaces for exhibitions, for public education programs, and then for events. So we can do all of those things at the same time. So visitors can experience the exhibits, kids can be going through an experience with teachers, and someone could be hosting a corporate lunch all at the same time, which will make the space very dynamic and very energized. And the museum before it closed could only do one of those things at a time. So this provides a lot more access.
And there's beautiful green space around around the museum. I mean, of course, it's at the entrance of Boise's Julia Davis Park, but there's that beautiful green space along Capitol Boulevard as well. And was that purposeful as well, to keep that space right there open as well as part of the entrance of the building?
We worked very closely with the Boise Parks and Rec Department because, of course, green space is very important to the Parks Department. And we, as part of our building renovation plan, had to work hand in hand with them to be sure there was enough green space as part of that plan.
And, Liz, I think about students in particular. Like, mm-hmm. every fourth grader in the state of Idaho goes through Idaho State History in the fourth grade.
Yep.
And to have this museum back open, I can only imagine what it will be like for, you know, fourth graders mm-hmm. who are not just learning from a textbook, but when you talk about a video game that simulates the Oregon Trail, what a better way to learn about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we're actually looking forward to hosting all of those fourth graders, as well as different grades and multidisciplinary. So other subjects, classes and other subjects can come and enjoy it as well. And we have some really great in-depth classroom programming as well. We have a classroom dedicated to just providing programs in addition to taking tours of the museum. So we're really excited about that.
And then with the Native American exhibit that you have, it is looking at all of our Native American people from our region. And I'm sure when you went around the state and got input, this had to have been something that was important to Idahoans.
We did that purposely again in 2013, went to the Tribal Chairman's Council and asked for their partnership and their approval to assign us a liaison from each of Idaho's five federally recognized tribes, and have worked in partnership to co-create all of the tribal content, because we didn't feel that was something that we could do without that partnership. And so the tribal story runs from the earliest origin stories through the history of contemporary tribal land stewardship. So it's all woven throughout the entire narrative of the state's history.
So it is officially reopening October 12th.
Yay!
Yes. Yep.
You can finally get some rest, right?
No, because we're going to have thousands of people in the building every day. So
is it, I mean, I am assuming on October 12th, it's going to be a madhouse.
And fun.
Because you have, I mean, it's not just, the doors are open.
Yeah.
If you can be there, this is the day.
Absolutely.
To be there.
Yeah. And that whole weekend, really, we're going to have special programming all weekend. But that ribbon cutting starts at 9, the ceremony starts at 9 a.m. that Friday. And we'll be open late that day until 8 p.m. With all kinds of special programming and activities on the front lawn, that green space you mentioned, and then all weekend.
So that is the time to see it.
Yeah.
And quickly before we go, I'm assuming there is a cost to go to the museum, and can people do like a season pass or, you know, because at the same time you want it to be accessible to everyone.
Yes. Yeah.
We will be pre-selling tickets for opening weekend.
Oh, that's
so
very
smart. So that people
smart.
Can have them. I will allow for some walk-ins, of course. And then we will have a membership, so people can purchase memberships so they can get access to the museum through special membership purchases. But members are of no charge. And, of course, there's special rates for veterans and other groups. So we try to make it as accessible as possible.
Well, I've been watching this for 4 years. So I am excited to see it finally reopening. Thank you to my guest today. Janet Gallimore is the executive director of the Idaho State Historical Museum. And Liz Hobson is the museum administrator. Again, the new Idaho State Museum, formerly the Idaho State Historical Museum, for those of you keeping track, reopens October 12th. You might want to get your ticket early for that, for the big grand opening. Thank you so much for coming in.